Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting of the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is April 2nd, Tuesday night, 5:38 p.m. Pacific, 8:38 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA. I'm the chair of this committee. We're going to start off by having our secretary, R. Paul Martin from WBAI, call the roll.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Crumshaw. Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manny Jusaba, Richard Uzel. Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
At six, we have a quorum.
Okay. By the hair on our chinny chin chins. Okay, two things to say is that Marcus Jeter and Manajay Saba requested an excused absence, which is technically doesn't mean anything, but people should just know that they're in transit and were unable to join us tonight.
Richard,
could you join? Hi, Richard.
Richard, hey.
Great. So, R. Paul, can you add that Richard just joined us?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Normally.
Okay. So the first thing we have to do is approve the agenda. There were two drafts sent, and I'm sorry about that. The one that we're looking at was sent, looks like my clock says 10:32 p.m. Pacific last night.
John Crumshaw here.
Hi, John. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's fairly long, so I'm just going to say this is an agenda that is basically ordering all of the items that we wanted to put on it. I don't think anyone thinks we're going to get through all of these items tonight, so we will get as far as we get. My hope would be that we would get through old business and maybe make a dent into new business. I'm going to go ahead and read the agenda out loud for the stream, so if anyone doesn't have their email handy, they can hear it, and so people listening will have some idea what the heck we're talking about. So the agenda goes, number one, roll call. Number two, approve agenda. Number three, approve minutes. Number four, time certain 30-minute discussion with Brian DeShazer regarding the archives, which we had agreed on last time. Number five, first quarter reviews for two or three stations, basically revenues, expenses, and budget to actuals. Then we move into old business that was left over, and item six is a pending discussion or motion regarding pledge handling for simulcast programs. This is the one pending item that was left over from the previous finance committee. Item seven is an update on the KPFK lockbox. Then we move to new business, and this is what the committee had decided at the last meeting. Item eight is to put together a request document and schedule from the NFC to the Pacifica National Office, what we need and when we need it. Item nine was John's idea about sort of a station financial need of the quarter project, which would be sort of a website development effort. Item 10 was to construct a recommendation regarding centralization and the vast number of bank accounts in different banks that we work with. And number 11 was Michael's suggestion that we put together some financial best practices into sort of, if not a manual, some kind of a document. So that's the draft. And it's open for either someone to move to approve or for modifications and changes.
R. Paul, small suggestion.
Yeah.
It says, where it says old business, could we make that unfinished business, which is the approved way of referring to it in Roberts?
Absolutely.
Madam Chair, this is Richard. May I speak?
Mm-hmm.
It was just brought to my attention again. I was told about it earlier and I've gotten busy and said anything. But it was brought to my attention that we were supposed to, the PNB was supposed to approve a letter that Arlene sent out to the CPB folks and talking about what our remedy would be to something that we didn't do right. And did we follow up on that?
That's a good question.
And shouldn't our committee have something to say about it?
Yeah, I think it is a pending matter and it's worth talking about. From an agenda point of view, I hate making this agenda longer, but that's what we're going to do. Maybe we could stick this into unfinished business.
Where?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what I know, which is not that much, and then we can decide what we want to do, if anything.
Could you state it again briefly what the issue is?
You should remember this from last year. We had a scenario with CPB where they informed us that we were not declaring the proper value on our premium expenses.
So it's concerning that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were claiming the market value for which we were selling them, and if, of course, the correct, well, not...
No, we were...
Not of course, because obviously we didn't know, but we were...
They
yeah,
wanted
but,
us to claim more market value.
Yeah. What we were generating. So, Richard, how do you feel about putting that into old business or unfinished business?
Wherever you want to.
After the lockbox?
I just water, didn't I?
Well, it's item 8, which sounds way down, but it's actually not, because we're going to get through some of the other stuff fairly fast.
At least we're dealing with it.
Does that work okay? Richard?
Yes, like I said, at least we're dealing with it. That's fine with me.
Okay. Okay, so Paul, could you put the CPB premiums issue?
The lockbox.
Yeah. We're going to do forecast plot channeling. But
what
anyway,
I have is letter to CPB re-evaluation. Is that?
Okay.
Okay.
And Michael, you wanted to put in something about the payment supervisor. Should we put that into unfinished business too?
Sure.
Okay.
What was that? There were so many beeps, I didn't hear everything you said.
when we were talking, yeah, go ahead, Michael.
There's a question from the election committee as to whether the LES is
payment.
Mm-hmm. So, just that in the same way.
So, Paul, if you could drop in also payment of election supervisors into unfinished business as well.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll put that after the letter to the CPB.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think. Sure. Okay. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Okay. Any objections? The agenda is hereby approved. Okay, so at this point in time, let's see where we are here.
I think approve the minutes is next.
Yeah. We have one set of minutes from our previous meeting. They were sent out on the group, I don't know, a couple hours ago, which is normally what happens. They come about 3 or 4 hours before the meeting. Would anyone like to move to approve or to modify that set of minutes?
I move to approve the minutes.
Second. Was that John?
Yeah. Yes, I move to approve.
Mm-hmm. Okay, are there any objections to approving those minutes? Does anyone want to for the record? Okay. Did someone say they wanted to call a vote, or do we have no objections?
No objections.
Wonderful. Okay, the minutes are hereby approved. So at this point, we should be moving on to Brian DeShazer. I told him to call at 6. My guess is he'll call at 6 Pacific. Brian, you're not on the call, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then I think we probably should just, you know, look at an item on the agenda that we think we can handle in about 10 minutes.
No, I just wanted to let you know.
I'm pretty sure that a whole station's first quarter review we can't handle in 10 minutes. And I don't think that's the case with the simulcast pledge handling. The next item on the agenda is the KPFK lockbox. John, do you think that you could give us an update on that in about 10 minutes?
I can give you that. I can give you that update. Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I spoke with Bernard after our last meeting where they expressed concern about the situation with the KPFK lockbox. He directed me then to Terry Guy at the station, who then mentioned Tamika at National, and I spoke with them and then went back to Bernard for an update, and he sent me an email confirming that the lockbox training would take place on April 11th, so that I take it that all of the issues related to the lockbox will be handled through the end of this month, so that we'll be ready with the new fund drive coming up to implement the use of that lockbox. I think, in brief, that would be my report.
Okay, that was brief. Are there any questions, concerns, follow-ups?
This is
well,
Jim. I just
have. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I heard Jim. Who else was speaking? Okay, I don't know.
John,
Jim, go ahead.
Say that I would follow up. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm just curious,
Jim.
Is there no there? Right now, KPFK does not have a lockbox.
That is correct. They have another system in place, but not a lockbox.
Are you the only station that doesn't have one?
That's what I was told last time. I had no idea about the status of lockboxes in other stations.
Okay. That's all.
Okay, yeah, the reason that the Finance Committee is not entirely up to speed on this is that the last time this issue surfaced was, I don't know, 12 months ago or some such thing, and it was basically sent over to the FRAT Committee to try to solve, and they did not solve it. So now it is here again, and we are at this point going to try to get it resolved.
Just a point of information.
Yes, go ahead, Tony.
As a new member, could you bring up what was exactly the problem that they were trying to solve?
John, do you want to, or do you want me to do it?
Well, I can just give the information. I forgot to mention that Bernard did say that he had updated Summer as of last Friday with the current status. And I don't know, I can't say what happened. I just know that when you met last time, and the issue was raised, I took the responsibility on to answer the LSB questions about it and just make sure it was implemented. But, Tracy, maybe you can give us a historical background.
Sure. One of the recommendations that came out of the 2010 audit, which is the time that the FRAT was put together in early 2011, is we had a list of deficiencies at several stations. It was not small. And one of the items that came up was that the Los Angeles station was not using a lockbox. At the time, neither was Berkeley, and that those needed to be fixed. We did go ahead and put together a lockbox system in Berkeley. They had one. They had not been using it for a while, and it was reinstated. I believe all of the other stations had them. There might have been some issues with BAI as well, but they were also ameliorated. However, for some reason that no one is quite clear on, the KPFK installation of the lockbox was very troubled, and almost 2 years later has not happened. So there's been back and forth. It was in the Finance Committee for a while, went to the FRAT, has come back, and John has graciously agreed to sort of stay on top of it actually happening. We've been told it's in process for a substantial period of time, and yet the process never seems to result in getting over the hump to actually doing it. So we are trying to basically keep it on the Finance Committee agenda until it is implemented as one of the, you know, one of the longstanding audit deficiencies that seems pretty solvable and something that, you know, we should get taken care of.
Barbara, for the comment.
Yeah. Okay. And so, John, sorry, so John, we're going to keep this on the agenda and you're going to give us an update at the next meeting, right?
Okay, I will do that.
Okay. Barbara.
Well, to Tony's question about what is the issue, since we just went through all this, as Tracy says, it was in the recommendation for the from the auditor, but the issue is custody of the receipts and have them documented, and this, you know, one person isn't having way too much responsibility in processing these. That's the basic deal.
Thanks, Barbara. Yeah. Okay. So that takes care of that. We have, I think, five. Yeah, go ahead.
Very fast, Carolyn. Yes, BAI actually has had the lockbox for more than 30 years. So I don't think we've had a recent issue with it, but I know we had it 30 years ago.
Okay. Okay. There was one other station that there was some sort of lockbox issue. What I was trying to say is the other two stations ameliorated it, and for some reason at KPFK we've just been stuck. It just hasn't happened. If I named WBAI in vain, I'm really sorry.
Richard, may I go on the stick?
Huh? Go ahead.
Last comment, I don't know who the gentleman was. He was talking about, he said that the lockbox, part of the lockbox dilemma, and I guess the quotation marks around that, is that who is in charge of the receipts, or who's in charge
custody.
Of the,
mm-hmm.
the custody? There you go. Who's in charge of the custody in the, I don't know, y'all using an old Frito bag or something now? You know, who's in charge of it now? That same person would be in charge of the lockbox. It's not a mm-hmm. difficult thing. It just needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so at this point, if he's here, we are up to Brian DeShazer. Are you here, Brian? Okay, doesn't sound like it.
5 minutes early.
Okay, well then I think we should probably just keep hacking on the agenda so we get as much done as we can with the time that we have. So the next item would be the CPP premiums matter. Richard, you put that on the agenda, so why don't you motivate a bit what you were hoping to find out, and then I probably have some information to add to that. Richard?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh, I was going to say that before Brian gets here, just to keep moving on the agenda, we were up to the item about the CPB premiums, which you put on the agenda.
Okay, I can say a little bit. I don't know a lot yet, but mm-hmm. yeah, can you want me to motivate that or talk about it?
Yeah, yeah, why you put it on the agenda and what you want to get out of talking about it
okay.
right now.
Okay. As I understand it, now I wasn't on the board back last year, but as I understand it, the executive director at the time, who's gone now, wrote a letter to the inspector general or whatever of the CPB and told them, this is what we're going to do to ameliorate the problem. And because they apparently overpaid us $133,000 and some change, We had our executive director said, this is what we're going to do. And in the letter, it says that it would be taken to the PNB at the September 2012 meeting. And then it was just fallen through a hole. And I didn't know anything about it until just recently.
Okay. Yeah, I can give you kind of a little update based on what I know. Does anybody else have a question for
Richard?
Well,
I have just a brief comment about what I know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that whatever the letter said, I thought that our receipts were already being reduced to make up for the overpayment they apparently gave whatever stations, you know, had not used the right value for premiums according to the CPB regulations. Is that not true? Or do you know, Tracy?
Yeah, I know a little. Not everything, but I will tell you what I know. Brian, is that you?
Yes, it is me. Hi.
You're punctual. Wonderful. We are finishing up one agenda item, which you're welcome to sit through. I think it'll take 2 or 3 minutes, and then we are ready for you.
Okay. I'll be quiet and patient.
No worries. Okay. So on the CPB premium stuff, the information we were working with last fall when we set the budgets up was that the parameters with CPB to repay the money, and again, this is money that was distributed to all five stations, so the total of $133,000 is proportional between the five stations based on, you know, the chunks of their CPB funding, which is larger or smaller based on the size of the station, but that whatever's the station's chunk was, it was divided up for not repayment, but basically subtraction from the resources that were available for the next 3 years. So we could assume that the CP grants would be smaller by one-third of the station's chunk each year going forward 3 years. So that's how we budgeted last year and presumably would do so again this year and the year after that. The piece that I don't know is whether the CPP agreed to that repayment plan. And that's something I think we're going to have to verify with the IED. It came up again because we were kind of hoping during the WBAI antenna process crisis that there might be some emergency funds available from CPB. So there were some phone calls, and what surfaced was that because we had this sort of pending situation, that they were not going to be able to release any additional emergency funds until that was kind of off the record, and it was not off the record yet, which was sad. So whatever we have negotiated with CPB, it seems to be sort of in a not quite finalized version. So what I would say, Richard, is I think we proposed a repayment plan, and I don't know how far that got, but it hasn't been finalized, is my last understanding.
Barbara, with a comment or question.
Okay.
You were saying you were kind of describing it as more or less divided evenly among all the stations, but some have larger budgets than others. But my understanding was that it was very much related to the amount of premiums that were in question, and that differed by station, irrelevant of the budgets. Do you follow what I'm saying?
I follow what you're saying. The amounts were divided between the stations. I don't know if it was divided on the basis of what chunk of the overall CPB funds that station receives. My guess would be that it probably was, and it wasn't calculated by individual premiums. But we received those numbers from Levarn for budgetary purposes, and those are the numbers that we used. They seem to be basically proportional. In other words, the amounts for PFW and KPFT, as the smaller stations, were much smaller. And for the larger stations, they were larger. But I don't know exactly how they were calculated.
My understanding was that, I'm sorry to say, but WBAI had more premiums with the wrong calculation, according to CPB, than, for instance, KPFA did. And it wouldn't have been just, you know, splitting it three ways among the bigger stations. That it was more related to the actual cost of the premiums that were being questioned. I think this is something we just need to find out whether that's my understanding of how it went.
Well, the CPB audit was done by the auditor. And basically the problem, as I understand it, was that system-wide, not at one station or the other station, was all, you know, the form is completed comprehensively.
Right.
But system-wide, we were simply using the wrong cost basis for the premium. And that would affect all the premiums, no matter what the
stations.
The point is that would affect all of the premiums at all of the stations equally. So... Yeah, so I'm not sure that the station by station distinction is all that crucial here, because you're using one cost basis, and if it's the wrong one, then it's wrong all the way through. Yes, Richard.
Jim Boyd may know more about this than I do, and probably does. But as I understand, who was that who was just talking and said that about
this? This is Barbara from KPFA.
Hey, Barbara, thanks. This is Richard down in
Hi.
Houston. As I understand it, that what you said is accurate, because New York has access to such higher value premiums like Broadway tickets and stuff like that, and so the amount that they were over on declaring the actual value or the market value was a great deal higher. Houston's was not too big compared to the others.
Yeah, Houston's was tiny. It was like $3,000 a year or something like that for 3 years. It was not a substantial amount of money. Okay. So it doesn't sound like anyone has any additional information besides the fact that I know that CPB does not consider the matter closed. In terms of what we do about it, we're probably not going to have a Finance Committee report at the next PNB meeting or for some time, because we're pretty low on the committee flow chart. But I would assume that we could ask a question during the next IED report, and maybe, Richard, you would do that and see what information you could ascertain.
Ask for an update on what's happening with this, you mean?
Yeah. I think probably, I mean, it's, you know, we're having this conversation on the open stream, and it's not a closed secret, but it may be that closed session is the more appropriate place to get into the weeds. But Richard, would you take on doing that?
And what was I being asked to do?
Bring this question to the PNB.
Yeah. Make an inquiry of the IED as to the current status of this during the next IED report, which presumably will be Thursday, a week from Thursday.
Okay, I don't know. That's a continuation meeting, so I don't know if we can get it on that agenda, but we'll get it this month.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
I'll see to it. I'll see to it, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Good. All right. So with that, I think, Brian, you're on.
Great. Thank you.
okay.
Well, thanks. I appreciate everybody. I don't know who's actually on the call, so I assume that the Finance Committee representatives from all five stations. Was he, Tracy?
Yes. We have at least one representative present from each station. The people that are missing, for what it's worth, Manajay Saba, who's in Iran. She had a family member pass. Marcus Jeter, who's traveling from somewhere to somewhere. And I think everyone else is here.
Okay, great. Thanks. I just wanted to make sure that all the stations were represented. So I, and if they weren't, that there would be some information to pass on after the meeting. So I'm coming to the National Finance Committee because I was at the Pacifica National meeting in New York and made a presentation and made a report. And one of the main priorities was the funding of the archives and the fulfillment of the proposed budget as best we can. And there's some issues with central services that go back to FY12 with WPFW and WBAI, and all through this year since October of central services not coming to the archives. Right now we have a total balance of what was not paid from last year plus this year in the neighborhood of $207,000. So, let me see what the total is. 127 of that is from last year. So this year so far, we're looking at a loss right now of $70,000. And that's not even a full known number because we do not have central services figures from the stations for December, January, and February from two stations, and January and February from four stations. So that $70,000 is probably well over $100,000 now. So we're having a very difficult time in getting services paid to us through National Office and the data entered into the system. So I'm not even sure how much money that we're down. You know, so that's a problem. And, you know, of course, the urgency of it is due to the fact that we've got grant funding. We were just awarded I'm not actually allowed to announce this. But one of the grants that we applied for, we were awarded.
Then let's say congratulations and leave it at that.
thanks. And we have another pending grant that we're looking to get a word from the award from in June, and that's the larger grant. And both of those grants have matching in-kind funds attached to them, which means our budget has to be fulfilled to the degree that we can match those in-kind funds. So it's not just a numbers game or trying to buy more boxes to load more tape into. This is a pretty serious issue of if we don't have our budget fulfilled and the central services that's already booked by the bylaws and the books and everything, then we're not going to be able to accept that grant money. Sort of why we're coming to the National Finance Committee is because the National Board didn't have time on the agenda to address the issue of, one, figuring out what to do about a recovery plan that's realistic from the lost funds from WBAI and WPFW from last year. And the 2012 numbers are important because they've already been audited. And in the audit and in the system, it shows that they've already been paid to the archives.
Mm-hmm.
So the audited money that shows that it's already been paid to the archives has not come to the archives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the $125,000 from 2012. This is not an option that we let and write that off. It's already been audited. We've got to recover that. And if a funder who wants to give us money for a grant looks into our finances, we better have an answer for audited money that's not in our bank account. So the least we could do, I think, is have a recovery plan, or at least a memo that says a recovery plan must be undertaken so that we can show a requester about our finances that we have at least some vision of what's to happen. And then additionally, so that's number one, the recovery plan for last year's stuff, audited money. And then the second thing is to deal with this year's money, which is really like from October till now, we've only received $52,000 from all five stations. And our annual budget for the archives is only $550,000. So when I look at $200,000 of a loss over an 18-month period, that's a big, huge chunk of what we're supposed to be doing.
I have a question.
Sure.
Could you repeat
the figure? Sure.
The amount from October through March that you have received?
We've been paid $52,039.55. And that comes from KPFA, paid in January, $8,000. KPFK is actually current with all of their funding. WBAI is dead in the water. WPFW is dead in the water. We don't even know what their figures are. And KPFT, KPFT, actually, their funds are used to pay for the health insurance for the archives. So that money has not come into our bank account, but National Office uses that number and then pays the health insurance for the whole National Office. So that's what we're looking at for there. And again, we don't know what the numbers are for January and February for four of the stations yet. So there.
Mm-hmm.
So that secondary thing in terms of what I'm asking the Finance Committee to consider and figure out how to take back to the National Board is what to do about this problem of central services not being funneled back into the archives, either from the stations to National Office and then back to the archives, or have the stations pay the archives directly from the business managers at the stations.
Mm-hmm.
Addendum to that, or the caveat, if that's the right word, is that I have been working with Tamika at National Office in summer and trying to figure out what to do about the central services. So we do have a commitment from Tamika to, you know, as soon as they have the numbers from the stations at a certain time of the month, I think around the 20th or the 25th, then they would look at what's in the bank and then take the percentage and then do a wire transfer to the archives. What actually didn't happen this month with that is that we didn't receive the numbers from the stations into the system to figure out what the percentage was. So there's a positive that Tamika's working on it, but the negative is that the team, in terms of the network business managers, somehow the work is not getting done into the system so we even know what our percentage is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what to say about that.
Right.
And
of course.
And so then thirdly, you know, talking with the general managers of the stations in summer and the leadership team, which includes Ursula and John Almella and Otis McClay, every week. This week we have not met. But it has been brought up that, you know, we are at an urgent sort of emergency situation with figuring out how to get money into the archives account, because we really are, like, out of money to pay our payroll, because our money, you know, our central services was used to pay WBAI's payroll. So we are really in a situation where we're at the bottom of our barrel from what we raised from our November fund drive. So now we have that. So Summer has suggested to the leadership that the stations do another one-day fundraiser to recoup the unpaid central services of the two stations on the East Coast. So I guess there should be some support from the National Finance Committee for the IED and the stations to do that one-day fundraiser. I myself, you know, on the record, I'm a little on the fence on that one, because I know it's just going back to the listeners again to recoup money that was already raised to put into the archives coffers. And also it's just really the fatigue to the listeners, and the extra fund drives is really getting to a breaking point. And I really don't want to have the archives be that thing that breaks the camel's back, that makes the whole gestalt of the thing break down. And then also the reputation of the archives and its integrity is very, very important to me. So I don't want it to be a controversial thing, which is clearly, you know, it's never not a controversial thing at Pacifica.
Right.
But I really don't know that anybody has another solution at this point. We really are like, next week we're going to need some money to pay our payroll, and nobody has any solutions other than one-day fundraiser, a recovery plan for past FY funds from the East Coast stations, and you know, some sense of what does the National Finance Committee recommend for the National Office to do about getting central services actually paid to its bookie. All right, so now I'm going to rest.
Barbara,
thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Yeah, I have lots of thoughts about what you said, and as you pointed out, there's several different pieces. So let's do sort of questions or comments on a stack. I heard Barbara. Who else wants to be on the stack?
Michael.
Okay. Anybody else? Was there another name there?
Tony.
Tony. Let's start with Barbara then.
Well, it's nice to hear from you, Brian. And I do know, I did talk to our business manager today, and I know that we have been one of the stations paying you directly, not through the national office. And I can understand you're wanting to know what the exact amount is due. Sometimes what's paid is more a matter of cash flow, what's available. But there is a reconciliation eventually that says, you know, we owed this much and we paid that much, and it does become known the amount that was actually due. And I also know from our business manager that she offered to send money for this last payroll, which you declined. And then she told me also that she had received some phone messages from your business manager, but she had not been able to call her back. So I don't know what KPFA's cash flow will be for this next payroll coming up, but we have been able to contribute often, apparently, around payroll time. And so I'm assuming that'll happen for the next payroll as well.
Barbara, that's the KPFA, is that right?
Right.
Okay, thanks. I just wanted to check that. Yeah, I'll check with Marianne on that. You know, what I do show is that KPFA paid in January, you know, $8,500, but that was actually the October number. But I don't show any payments except for that. So there might have been, and believe you me, I would never decline an offer for someone to cover our payroll. So I think the message never got to me. I have a feeling our business manager said, oh, that's okay. We have the money in the bank this time. When I should have said, what are you doing? Take the money. Take the offer. But yeah, I'll check on that. But I do.
I just wondered if you had turned it down because you were trying to make an overall assessment and just wanted to wait.
No, it sounded
kind of like that.
No, I think that the message never got to me. But yeah, we'll check it in. You know, I do appreciate, I'm sorry, I forgot the business manager's name.
Maria.
I was thinking Mariana on my end.
Right, yes. Maria, I had the feeling that Maria had actually spoken to you, but maybe not.
Yeah, no, she talks to Mariana most of the time. So I haven't talked to her. So we'll see if we can set up a meeting with Maria, and then Mariana and I and Maria will at least come to an understanding of what our numbers are and how we can get, you know, if there's any information on the actuality numbers.
Right, that's kind of hard to pin down these days.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what we can do, come up with, and then, you know, if you all need me to report back to you on each station, I'm willing to do that.
Okay, let's move the stack to Michael Novick.
I'm looking, for example, at the financials we got in February or for February from our business manager. The only payment.
I'm sorry, Michael. And which station are you from? Sorry.
Los Angeles. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Go ahead.
Well, it's a more general question. So it shows a payment of $3,000 in October and then no other payments since October. It's not clear to me, this is my general question really, how we keep track of sort of billables within Pacifica. In other words, do you have outstanding bills that you're expecting from KPFK? And where would that show up?
In terms of keeping track of central services, the archives has our own internal spreadsheet that we keep track of, you know, the payments and what the actual number, I'm sorry, the actual central services number is, so we can calculate the 2.5%. KPFK, you know, Mariana and Anthony have a close relationship. So usually Lisa goes to Anthony for a check, you know, at payroll time to cover something. So I know that KPFK is current with their payments and are always available to help us out when we're at that point. So in terms of, you know, how you find it out within the consolidated budget, that's actually the crux of the matter. It's very difficult to figure that out.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, let's go to Tony Norman, and I'll put myself on the stack at the end. Tony?
Just a quick question. I wanted to know how much WPFW owes and over what time period.
Right. WPFW, back in FY 2012, they were back, they were unpaid $74,105. So that was most of 2012 that they did not pay the central services. And in this year, we have a total so far of $7,900, but we don't know the totals for January and February. Now, back in October, September, October, when it was, at that point, it was still an urgency for me because we were $200,000 behind from that year. John Hughes and Arlene Engelhart, when it was that round, you know, was at the top of the priority list. And then it became a discussion of if National Office kept the CPB funds to make the payroll and everything, that WPFW was arguing that National Office owed the archives WPFW Central Services, and they didn't pay it either. So I'm just laying it on the table that somewhere in the middle of National Office and WPFW, there's a bill of $82,000 is the total for last year plus this year, with 2 months not being known.
So you're saying some of that is funds that was kept from our CPB funds, and that has to be reconciled and go to
National
you
Office.
But it didn't go to you.
Right, that's the argument. If you think that if the argument and the assumption is that the CPB money is to cover central services, which is supposed to be a percentage of the listener donations, which is not central CPB funds. CPB funds are dedicated funds that are not supposed to be used for central services. So my argument is CPB funds, no. They go to the station, whether it went to National Office and didn't go to the station, I don't care. But it's the listener funds, which is the percentage, and that's what the number is audited, and that's the number that I think everybody should be working with.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I have something to add there, but is there anyone else who wants to be on the stack? Okay, I'll put myself on. When we talk about the National Office keeping CPB funds, that's not really what we're talking about, and I think that language is sloppy, and that's part of the reason that we get into trouble and confuse ourselves. What we're talking about is the fact that the CPB, of course, sends funds directly to Pacifica, because Pacifica is the 501c3 and the only entity that is authorized to receive CPB funds. Rather than sending them to the stations when the stations owe unpaid central services, what happens is an offset where the funds, since they're already at the National Office, stay at the National Office, and the amount of central services due is credited versus the CPB funds that have been received. And it's basically to prevent wiring funds from the National Office back to the stations so the stations can turn around and wire them back to the National Office, which is, you know, logically kind of weird. So it's not a question of funds being used one way or the other. It's a question of stations being behind on their central services payments, as we've heard, four of the five stations haven't even assessed the amounts due since it looks like the end of the first quarter. And those amounts are due for January, for February, and for March. And we had fund drives in February, so they're not unsubstantial amounts of money. And because the stations are constantly in a lag, there's this constant debt or this constant unpaidness going on. So that's what we mean when we talk about keeping CPB funds. We mean offsetting it against unpaid central services. In the long run, what should be happening is that the, you know,
receipts that have been received in a 30-day period by the stations for listener support, those funds, you know, that amount should be noted by the business managers at the close of the month. 17% of it is central services and 2.5% of it is archives. And those amounts should be recorded and posted within 10 days after the close of the month and paid as quickly after that as possible. The fact that we don't do that is what causes a lot of this confusion. Okay, so a couple of things. For what it's worth, Brian, I think it would make a lot more sense for the stations to pay the archives directly each month, the 2.5%. There's no reason to clunder that as central services. It's a separate percentage for a separate purpose to a that's owed to a particular division, and it would be cleaner bookkeeping. So I think that's something the Finance Committee might want to look at. And for those stations that have long-term problems, paying central services, the archives is a very small portion of that. And if we could separate the archives cash flow from the national office cash flow, I think that would make a lot of sense and ease up some of the pressure on the archives. In terms of, and part of what we're doing is we're talking about our own individual stations vis-a-vis the archives rather than the systemic problem. And I encourage people that the Finance Committee should be looking at the systemic problem and not just the how much does my station owe, because you are working on behalf of the entire foundation and all seven divisions, not just your own. And that's important. So systemically, I think we can separate the archives and the NO cash flow, and that would help considerably. Timings also and issue. For the past due portion, obviously at BAI and PFW, we have pressing financial needs. We have moves. Both stations are not clear where they're going to be residing and have serious cash flow issues. So I think what the Finance Committee has to look at is what's, as you put it, a reasonable recovery plan, not what's the scenario where we can write a $200,000 check, because I don't think that's
right.
A realistic scenario. So that would be something that we would have to work on. In terms of current central services, I guess my question is why on earth we wouldn't have the amounts due and payable from each station 10 days after the end of the month. I don't fully understand that. When we're talking, for example, about KPFA, and Barbara was saying, well, we offered to forward money. It's not forwarding money because the January, February, and March receipts, and certainly January and February should be tabulated by now, are outstanding. They're past due. And they haven't been paid, and we don't know how much they are, and apparently Brian doesn't even know how much they are. And I don't understand why we don't have a tally 10 days after the end of the month. In closing a month, you establish what your listener revenues are, and 2.5% of that at that moment in time is due and payable to the archives, and 17% of it is due and payable to the national office. And we really should have those numbers, whether – if there's cash flow scenarios where they can't be paid, that's one thing, but not to know how much they are or to confuse forwarding money with paying our bills is, I think, part of the psychological stuff that we do to ourselves, pretending that we're just loaning money back and forth when we have to be a little bit more businesslike about it. These are bills, and they need to be taken seriously, and they need to be paid on time. They're not favors. I guess that's mostly it. My thoughts about what the Finance Committee would be doing is, I think, number one, you know, what's a recovery plan look like? Does it involve a one-day fundraiser, and does that make sense? And if not, what's the alternative to at least make some progress on paying that large 2012 chunk? And then two, is there an accounting recommendation about how we can keep from creating in 2013 what we already created in 2012? Because if 200,000 becomes 400,000 by the end of 2013, we've got a survival problem for the archives. And I don't think that's acceptable.
Hey, Tracy, can I jump in for just 1 second and clarify something?
Yeah.
The
the proposed one-day fundraiser, which would have to come in May, like very soon, because if it comes any later, it's too late in the year to get the money and actually use it. That's actually to offset the proposed loss of WBAI and WPFW not being able to pay central services this year between October and the end of September. We didn't even.
So it doesn't address the one. Yeah, so it doesn't address the 200 that's
back. Yeah, we didn't even touch last year because I couldn't get them to respond to this year.
Oh, God.
It's like one step at a time this year.
So that's a big recovery plan. Wow.
Yeah, well, yeah. When we look at last year plus this year, it ends up being $380,000 over a two-year period. So, yeah, so with Summer and the group really understanding and not getting a sense of what WBA and PFW are able to do between now and the end of the year, or between October and the end of the year, that's what we're looking at to offset. Boy.
Yeah. Problem is, the bills for some of these stations just don't compute with the listener revenue, and that's what the problem is. Okay.
That's just a booking thing. You know, if it's easier to book the idea that we're raising money for last year and then the archives gets it, fine, and the next year we'll be in the hole for this year. So you kind of can call it, you know, one egg or another.
Yeah, yeah. No, but thank you. I was thinking, was not quite thinking about that correctly, so thanks. Okay, anybody else on the stack for questions or comments? Okay. All right, Brian, I don't think we can give you instantaneous answers here because what you put out is complicated.
You're not writing me a check? Yeah. Well, thanks for your time. I didn't expect there to be, you know, a consensus, a vote, and a motion passed before our very eyes. But it was certainly my obligation to bring you the information, ask for your recommendations and suggestions and whatever it is that you as this committee are able to do under the auspices of the board of directors at each of your stations. It is so much appreciated, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, and we'll absolutely try to come up with some meaningful recommendations, shortly.
Okay, cool. Thank you very much, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Thanks.
It doesn't get better. Okay. All right, so we obviously have a couple of items that have been added to the agenda. My feeling is we should probably move forward with the agenda that we have this evening, but if anybody wants to devote a little more time to discussion of the archives, we can do that right now.
Well, this is Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Although I presented, our payments to them as kind of dependent on cash flow, it's not entirely so. And our business manager has, I know for some time, taken quite seriously the fact that we pay this separately, directly to them. And it's true that the two business managers talk, and sometimes the amount that's transferred is more relative to the payroll. But I will work with our business manager to try to figure out if we are paying the correct amounts, and make sure that the payments look that will cover those amounts that are due more accurately or more closely, not just helping with the payroll when it's due.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be a help to them if the January and February payments could be made.
It may have been, Tracy, and we don't know that. I'm not sure, but anyway.
Okay, well, Brian said that they had not been paid, so I'm taking his word for it. Okay. Anything else? Okay, so at this point in the meeting, we would be moving on to doing some reviews. I think given that we devoted the time to Brian that we did, we probably would look at doing about two stations tonight. So the floor is open for volunteers. If any of the treasurers would like to volunteer, we obviously won't be hearing from PFW tonight. If no one wants to volunteer, I have a couple suggestions.
I can do something here, all right.
Okay, so our poll's won.